Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
A new collection of Annie Leibovitz photos, more than 300, are curated in a new book called Wonderland. As the first compilation created primarily around her work showcasing fashion, some of the pictures have not been seen before, including, I'm guessing, the second to last one on page 434. It's a calendar page from 1997 from Karen Mulligan, Annie's studio manager for more than 20 years. On the date of September 26th, there's a handwritten note about Claire Danes' Vanity Fair cover. The following week on the 25th, it says Sandra Day O'Connor, Justice Ginsburg, and then 3 days after that, Ralph Lauren VF/Montauk. In the book, we get to see behind the scenes in fashion as well, a shot of Karl Lagerfeld's desk piled high with correspondence and books all around, surprisingly messy. There is a story to that photo, and she describes it in the book. Annie captures moments documenting the work and lives of politicians like House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and candidate Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Most of all, we get to see how Annie Leibovitz sees the fashion she's there to shoot. Joining us now is Annie Leibovitz. Annie, welcome.
Hi. Hi, Allison. Did you get your basement cleaned out?
Oh, that's all.
It's just funny because I was looking through your bio and I see that in 92, you were on that Clinton, campaign, that whole period. So we have some crosswires there.
I remember you from that. I'm gonna tell a story and I don't know how this is gonna go.
We have a few stories.
I met you in a tiny airport in New Hampshire on that campaign, and
oh my
I
gosh,
was so nervous, and I probably shouldn't have done this. I went up to you and I said, Annie, I really appreciate your work and I really like everything you do. And you looked at me and you went, so?
No, I never have a very good manner when I'm working. It's kind of like, but I'm so impressed today with the journalism, that is going on, with everything going on. It's such a vibrant moment. I love Doug Mills, what he did in the White House, anyway, so there's this great photojournalism going on. I know I couldn't help myself in this book on fashion. It really is a book. I mean, I had all this over-the-top playful work and I didn't know what to do with it. And I sort of like kept it off to the side. And then I said, okay, well, I think it belongs together. I love books. I just love books. So through my whole life, my life in photography, I've created books that are important to look back at the work and see what you've done. And I've done books that chronicle periods of my life in photography. I've done books on American music and women and dance. And I've done a book of doesn't have any people in it. It's just landscapes and still lives. So I looked at this fashion work and, sort of kept it off to the side and said, okay, I'm going to put it together. I'm just going to make it its own book. And then of course COVID hit and I really spent time with it and I really enjoyed, more time than I've ever spent on a book. And I sort of enjoyed creating the narrative for it, which was really, I'm not a fashion photographer. So here's this work. And then I couldn't help myself. I did start to throw in some politics because I couldn't help myself. And because I've photographed, Vogue has a tradition to photograph the first ladies after their, the president's elected. And so that started with Hillary Clinton, back in 92. It was such a great, high moment. We all had such great high expectations. But I've done the first ladies all along and then I couldn't help myself. I started putting in a little more. Now I, of course, rationalized fashion-wise, how I could stick this work in. When you look at Nancy Pelosi and you see her, what she wears, and Vanessa Friedman from the New York Times has, you know, written many pieces on what Nancy Pelosi was wearing. You know, she's like what Nancy Pelosi wears is like a barometer for what's going on. I mean, that red coat when she stormed out of Trump's office, or the white when she wears white, or when she wears, you know, yellow, or she's, so it was interesting to I rationalize it and I put it in a book. It looks like fashion to me. So.
Well, the one photo you say you were ambivalent about including the portrait of Michelle Obama in the red room of the White House in this book. What was behind the ambivalence?
It was really, because I met the Obamas in Chicago when they were, you know, running, first when he ran for Senate, and then, of course, when he was running for president, I went to see them there and photographed the family. She was not like she was shy, but she was very reserved, Michelle Obama. And and the portrait of Michelle Obama in the book is, you know, her to the side, you know, she's turned to the side, and, you know, she slowly entered into this world, and boy, did she take it over and learn how to deal with it and use it. And I think she was really glad when she left it. But so I saw this whole sort of process over the years that President Obama was in office. And so that was a very early, I think that was the first sitting with Michelle Obama. And I feel like she is so not that woman in this picture. But I think at the time it was like important, you know, they were just in office for the first term, and it was important to see her in the White House and have a more, you know, I thought at the time, a stately photograph. I mean, that's why I sort of have a disclaimer in the text that says, I don't know if this picture really belongs, but on the other hand, she's there in the White House. I mean, she's a someone to reckon with.
My guest, Annie Leibovitz, we're talking about Wonderland. So there are these two essays at the top of the book. One's by you, and you wrote about a woman who was the founder and photo director of Ms. Magazine. She was at Harper's Bazaar before. B. Feitler, am I saying the last name right?
B. Feitler, that's right.
And she was really important to you. Can you explain how so?
Well, if you can imagine, I was this gawky kid on the West Coast taking pictures for Rolling Stone, and she started to hire me. She was this revolutionary art director for Harper's Bazaar. She was the only art director who gave Diane Arbus assignments to photograph fashion of all things. And she art directed Ms. Magazine to begin with, and she didn't know who I was. She started to give me assignments for Ms. And I met her and on the East Coast, and she started to she basically showed me how to, you know, she opened the portal to this world of Condé Nast and Vanity Fair and Vogue, and encouraged me to take on one of my very first fashion assignments. But she was also my mentor in photography, period. She was an extraordinary art director. I feel sad, actually, that there aren't more of those kinds of relationships now. The art director really used to take photographers under their wing and let them fail, you know, let them work through things and get things done. Actually, I just worked with Gillian Loeb with the New York Times, and I had a really nice session with her. She photographed me for a New York Times piece, and it seems like she has a really great relationship with that art director there, Barbara. And so I see semblings of stuff happening now, which is kind of nice.
When you went from Rolling Stone to Vanity Fair, what was different for you as a photographer?
Well, you know, you sort of have labels put on you as you're going along there. I mean, at Rolling Stone, I was, you know, thought of as a rock and roll photographer. I mean, I went to school, you know, took photography as fine arts, you know, Robert Frank, Cartier Bresson were the people that I followed. And so by entering, you know, Vanity Fair, I saw the opportunity to really broaden my spectrum of my subjects. And I think Condé Nast always treated their photographers as artists. And so it really, you know, beckoned a whole new world of subjects, really. You know, and, I mean, in the long run, I look back and I think I probably could have done it at Rolling Stone. But I think that, you know, I've used these magazines as extraordinary vehicles for the work. And I haven't lost sight of what I'm doing. Sometimes I get overtaken by the needs of the magazine. I mean, you are working for them. But I, you know, I try my best not to listen to anybody. So
my guess is Annie Leibovitz. The name of the book is Wonderland. So it's, you know, right after there's two essays, one's from Anna Wintour, one's yours. There are two portraits of a very cool person, Patti Smith. Mm-hmm. From 78 to 2006. Why did you want to have those two photos?
Well, I again, having more time to do this book than probably one should have, I thought it was an opportunity to sort of bring the reader around, especially, you know, new people to my work, to see the older work and see it build up to what, you know, the fashion work and where the fashion work came from. It didn't come out of anywhere. And so I selected some work early on, and I realized that on some level, fashion has always been there. I mean, Patti Smith has like an enduring style, and those photographs were taken, I mean, how many years apart? I mean,
20, yeah.
If you think of Jerry Garcia in a black t-shirt, I mean, it's like, maybe it's also crosses over to style, but it is fashion. And there are two photographs from the Rolling Stones tour in 1972 with Keith Richards, of course, reclining. There's very few pictures of him standing, but Keith Richards and Bianca Jagger standing by a propeller airplane. And it's, nothing is posed. This is really reportage, and yet there's a lot of fashion in those photographs. So I thought it'd be interesting to sort of pick a few pictures from the early work just to bring you along, to get you ready for things, you know, photo essays or photo stories on The Wizard of Oz and Alice in Wonderland.
You know, you make some beautiful portraits of Black women. And in this book, there are just gorgeous shots of Serena Williams and Maya Angelou. A lot of photographers and cinematographers don't know how to light women of color. How did you learn how to work with
them? I don't understand this. I guess I don't understand this discussion or argument about this or conversation about it. I just have always, if you look back at 50 years of my work, I never saw color. I mean, I just like was photographing people. And, you know, more importantly, I like to admire people for who they are and what they do. And I never thought about it. I mean, I know that seems insane, but I never thought about it. In fact, I'm going to go on a limb here and say, I used to be critical of the way Ebony photographed their subjects, and that they overlit them, and you know, like that. But everyone, we're all, you know, you know, natural light is the best light. But I just really, you know, never really thought about it more than that. That I wasn't going to just turn on a bright light, you know, like. And this, I'm sure this is like, you know, I'm sort of saying the wrong thing right now, but
you know. No, you're not. Which is good, is what you're saying is that you looked at each subject as an individual and took into account. It's when the default setting is to blonde, blue-eyed model, and so everything has to the axis. That's the axis around which all imagery is made. And you're saying, no, this is the person sitting in front of me. This is how I'm going to light this person. This is where I'm going to put this person. It's actually, I think, what we want to get to.
I'm actually not, I mean, contrary to popular opinion, I'm not a great technical photographer. I mean, I really do rely a lot on how I see natural light, and I get very nervous if I have to go into a studio, because I really do think the way I see natural light fall on someone is the way I want to see them. I remember when I did Lena Waithe for the cover of Vanity Fair, it was really important to me that she looked like herself. You know, she just, mm-hmm. And we did that in natural light.
My guest is Annie Leibovitz. We're talking about her book, Wonderland. So many of these photos are in these amazing locations and difficult to get to locations. And you do give a shout out to the people who make this possible, Mary Howard in particular.
Right.
What was her skill?
Well, I mean, I'm glad you pointed out that little piece in the back of the book. Karen Mulligan is so funny. She's been with me for over 20 years. And we were looking for a way to sort of thank the people who worked with us over the years. And she just started to recite all these stories that were so funny. We do talk about Mary Howard. But Mary Howard, I mean, one of the most extraordinary things about her is that I could take her with me on a shoot, and she would be the only person I need. Like, she, not only would she sit in, like when we did Dr. Biden, there's pictures of her sitting in, doubling up for Dr. Biden for me to take a picture. And she's very valuable in that way, all the way to making small, intimate, extraordinary sets. And she worked on Alice in Wonderland and The Wizard of Oz. I mean, she created those wings on Jeff Koons. So she is like an all around extraordinary artist and human being that I'm nervous if she's not available for one of my shoots. I mean, she'll sometimes go with nothing. And then that's the other thing is important to point out is those days of the big over the top shoot. I mean, they are kind of like behind us, and they're not appropriate right now. You know, they really need to be small. It is what it is. You know, it's a time for more, for something to be more real, more. But we had a great ride while we did it. back in 20 years ago, and things were kind of over the top, but. That's why it's great to sort of like take this work and put it somewhere. Because I was kind of, not that I was embarrassed about it, but it's sort of the low man, fashion would be the low man to photojournalism for me. I'm not really a photojournalist, but my portrait work, I mean, fashion was just sort of fun. Photographing people, to look at this and think about it. But in most of my work, people don't really like to be photographed. I mean, it's like, it's kind of like you're the dentist coming to town, and it's like it's a big psychological situation to photograph someone. They have to come to terms with who they are and what they look like or not, And so in fashion, you're dealing with, an actor like Cate Blanchett or you're a great model like Natalia Villanova or Kate Moss, and they sort of like are dragging you along. They just like to be photographed. So, you're kind of, it's fun. I mean, it's not really fun. It's work, but it's one element of the photograph you don't have to worry about. It really is about being playful and having fun.
The name of the book is Wonderland. It's by Annie Leibovitz. Annie, it is nice to see you again.
Okay, here we go. I'm so glad to see you. At this point, did you know Ted? I'm sorry. Did you do David Felton at MTV?
Of course.
Yeah. Well, we cohorted a lot, and he was a really old good friend. Anyway, so there's a lot of 6 degrees of separation here, and it's really nice to see you as well.
Take care.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.